We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. Our text is going to be verses 15 to 21. 2 Peter 1, 15 to 21. And our title is Moved by the Holy Ghost to Jesus Only. Moved by the Holy Ghost to Jesus Only. And we'll have three divisions. We'll look at what Peter is putting us in remembrance of, being put in remembrance, and then hear Christ, and then the Spirit's witness. Now let's read the first two verses in our text. In 2 Peter 1, 15 and 16, Peter writes, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now Peter and the other apostles, they were faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were made faithful because they were given by the Spirit of Christ, they were given life. They were given spiritual life by the Spirit of Christ. And without spiritual life, without that spiritual life in us, without the Spirit of Christ, no man, no woman can savingly see the kingdom of God. We can't see or know things by our own natural faculties, our own natural abilities to see and understand how to worship God, how to know Him, how to be pleasing to God. We just don't know it savingly. As Christ said in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He can't even see it unless he's born again. And the reason is that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that if we need to first believe on Christ, if God's looking to us to first believe him before he will save us, before he'll do a work for us, then that would mean it would have to come from our flesh, because we don't naturally have the Spirit. And that which is born of the flesh can only produce flesh. But this is a spiritual work. It's a spiritual work in order to even see the kingdom of God. So it must be done by the Spirit of Christ. So that spiritual birth is something that God must do for the sinner. We don't do that for ourselves. We don't initiate and fire up the engines of faith by some work of our faith. It's a work of the Spirit of God in the sinner. As you wrote in John 1:13, which were born. Those that are saved were born not of blood, right? It doesn't matter what our lineage was, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not by my own will. I don't have a free will just to suddenly savingly understand and recognize that Christ is all and that he's my Savior. I don't have that ability in the flesh, nor of the will of man. No one can believe. You can't believe for your own children. They have to be given this life by the Spirit of Christ themselves. But they're born of God. They're born of God. So being born again spiritually, there will be fruit. God is going to bear fruit in his people. As it says in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me," that's fruit. That's fruit born in someone by the Spirit of God. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." So we see that there's going to be a manifestation of spiritual fruit in the believers. They're going to believe Christ, and it's going to be visible in us, and they're going to follow Christ. They're going to grow up in Christ because the Father and the Son dwell with them. So he's going to teach them, and he's going to grow us in Christ. And this is further witnessed by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in us that bears these fruits out, that makes these fruits of what he's doing in us evident to others, but mostly evident to us. And it says in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, because the Spirit was dwelling in the apostles, right? As he does for all believers, because the Spirit was in them and using them, they were preaching salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithfully preaching salvation by Christ, not by man's works. It's what Paul said when as our brother read on Thursday from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So they understood what was revealed to them by God, because it was given to them by revelation. God revealed it to them. And they saw, they had the Old Testament, and then God made it alive to them so that they understood what was being said. They saw Christ, they knew Christ, and they heard his words as he was teaching them. And then they had the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit making application, helping them to understand what they were to understand. And so they declared and preached Jesus Christ. And today now, we have the epistles that they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. We have their epistles so that we can see how the apostles understood the Old Testament, how they understood what Christ was saying. And they wrote these things down and made them known to us. As Peter said, I'm endeavoring that you may be after I die, when I am deceased and gone, that you will have these things always in remembrance. And so we do. We have them here. We have the scriptures. They were faithful. And now we have these things whereby we are put in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. So, you know, you can see it. You know, the Lord's done a work here in Missouri, and he's brought these people here together, and we endeavor to see the Lord's work be established and to grow here, and you have a heart and a desire for your children to be established in the gospel as well. And we know that, you know, sometimes when men die, when the pastor dies, the work dies with them. The work goes away, and it's not because they weren't faithful. It's just sometimes the work dies, and sometimes it goes on. Sometimes the Lord blesses the work and puts another pastor in there, and the work goes on. But if we're not even preaching the truth, what hope do we have if we don't preach and declare Christ? So it begins by us, just like the apostles were faithful to preach Christ, so we endeavor to do the same thing, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul was determined to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's our endeavor. We are endeavoring the same thing, to preach and declare Jesus Christ, because that's what God is revealing to us. That's all the scriptures speak and declare Christ. They're all declaring to us how that God is merciful to sinners, how that he saves sinners and calls them to himself. So we want to build on this foundation with precious materials. Many of you men work with your hands, and you know what it is. If you have garbage materials, if you have a nice foundation, but you start building up a house and it's all junk, well then, what good is the house going to be? So you use good materials on that precious foundation. As Christ, as Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 13, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones," and then he goes on to "wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So when the fire is put to the puts these things to the test that we're building on, if it's wood, hay, and stubble, those things don't last very long in the fire. They get burned up very quickly. But that which is precious, the gold and the silver and the precious stones, the truths of Christ, that he is our salvation, these things last, because Christ, these precious things are in our declaration that he's our righteousness, that he's our hope, that Christ is our peace and our reconciliation with God. So we're putting the brethren in remembrance of these things, as it says in Isaiah 40, where he says, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. We can do that now. We can speak comfortably to the brethren because of what Christ has done. He says, "Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." So that God is now speaking comfortably to us in Christ, because Christ has accomplished our salvation. We're no longer trying to work out our salvation, to work out a righteousness for ourselves and to make ourselves acceptable to God. We are accepted with God in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He Himself is our righteousness. He Himself came in the likeness of our flesh and was perfect in everything that He did. And He laid down His life. He shed His blood to make atonement, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, to put them away so that God doesn't look at our sin anymore. He doesn't see our sin and our iniquity. We're forgiven of our debt and our sin because Christ paid that debt in full. And having paid that debt, He made reconciliation with us and God so that God accepts us now. He receives us. We come to Him in the Son. And so Christ did that. And Peter says in verse 16, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." And you think of what John said in 1 John 1, verses 1 through 5, where he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." It was manifested when Christ came in the flesh, and they saw Christ, they saw Him. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." All right? The apostles, they want to put us in remembrance of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." So, you know, and he goes on to show how that we're bearing witness that He's our forgiveness. If we sin, we don't look back to the law to make ourselves righteous. We look to Christ, who's given to us by the Father because He has made atonement for us. He has delivered us from our sins and that corrupting power of sins, that we keep looking to Christ. He's our forgiveness. He's our joy. He's our hope. That in Him, we don't look back to the flesh ever. We continue to look to Him and trust Him. And we see the warfare that goes on in our own hearts, knowing what we are in our nature and the weakness and the infirmity of this flesh. But He's given us His Spirit so that we don't get turned away from Christ. We remember, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And where else can I go? I can't make a righteousness for myself. He's shown me that. He's convinced me of it. And we are brought back again to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is given to save us, to set us free from the power and destruction of sin. And it says what Peter and John said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So each of us here have seen this and we've heard this. He's shown us this to us so that we know it's Christ. It's all in Christ. And that's what we are to remember and to declare. All right, so now our second point here, which is hear Christ. Now, the reason why we're so persistent is that in our text, what Peter says is in verses 17 and 19, he says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory." He's speaking of Christ. "When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now, Peter's referring to what the account in the Gospels of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Lord took Peter, James, and John, and he brought them up onto that mountain, and there he was transformed. He was transfigured before their eyes. He was changed. He was changed before their eyes. They saw him in his glorious appearance. They saw him in how he looks in glory. He was brilliant and beautiful and shining forth gloriously. If you turn over to Matthew 17 and verse 1. And it says, after 6 days, Matthew 17:1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Verse 2, and was transfigured before them. He was changed. Luke records it this way. He says, the fashion of his countenance was altered, so that his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, Matthew 17:3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Luke said that these two, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glory. They appeared in glory. They were glorious to behold, and how they were transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us what they spake of, that they spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And Luke goes on to say that Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. So that it's probably what John was thinking of when he was writing the Gospel of John in chapter 1, when he said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John went on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He excels Moses. He excels the prophet. So we're to hear Christ, and we're to look only to Christ for our revelation, for our hope, for our forgiveness, for our deliverance before the Father. So, and, you know, their sleepiness, you know, when they say that they were heavy with sleep, it's such a picture of how it is when all we were under was the Old Testament. When all we had was the Old Testament, and we looked at it, and all we could see was types and shadows and pictures. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't even understand what's being said, and you don't see how it all points to Christ. So you could see how they're coming out of this sleepiness, they're coming out of this darkness, and looking at these things through a glass dimly, through a dark glass where you don't see clearly what's being revealed to us here in the Old Testament until the divine power comes and breaks us out of it and gives, awakens us and helps us to see and to know what's being said and declared to us. And so coming out of this, the sleep, Peter answers and says unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And that sounds nice. I'm going to make 3 booths for you each to stay in, and it sounds good. It sounds great, especially in religion. It sounds good, but in doing that, he's making Christ equal with Moses and equal with the prophets. And Christ isn't equal with Moses and equal with the prophets. Christ is one with the Father. He's equal with the Father. He's the Son of God. There's no man like Christ. There's no man like him. So it can't be that we have Jesus and Moses and the prophets, because they're not equal. Christ excels all. And that's exactly what was revealed to Peter. It says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, in verse 5, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Don't be looking back to Moses. Don't be looking to the prophets. Hear Christ. Hear my Son, the one whom I've provided to give you salvation. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Right? We've nothing to fear in Christ. We don't have to be afraid of the Father coming to him in the blood of the Son. There's nothing to fear because he's made peace between God and men. He's made peace for his people and reconcile them to the Father. And when they had lifted up their eyes, verse 8, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that's what we're to look to, Jesus only. We're not to be looking to, it's not about religion. It's not about just being religious people. That's not what the scriptures are teaching. They're not teaching us how to be religious. They're teaching us that we can't save ourselves, but God in mercy and grace and kindness has poured out abundantly his salvation through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter said in Acts, to him give all the prophets witness. Through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's imperative that we preach Christ only. As Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because that's who we're to hear, Christ only. We're to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter's reflecting on this. He's reflecting on the Mount of Transfiguration there. And you can just see how tender Peter is, how he's moved, considering that he's going to be dying soon, and his care and love for the brethren and for the church, that they not be moved off of Christ. And we see how the church, or the so-called church at large, you know, that goes by the name Christ, but how they've been moved off. It's just religion now. It's no different from what it was in under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, where they looked to the law to be saved. But no one was saved by the law, not even the Old Testament saints. They were all saved looking to Christ. Everyone that the Lord delivered, they were delivered looking to and trusting the promise of the Messiah that should come and put away their sin. Even though they saw it in types and shadows and they didn't have the clarity, perhaps, but they saw Christ. Abraham saw Christ's day. He was looking to Christ, and he was saved by faith. So was David. So were all the prophets and all the Old Testament believers that were saved. They were saved looking to Christ, and it's no different for us. But you can see the abundance of religion. You can see the abundance of the scaffolding and stones that are just rejected because they don't believe. They're not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on in verse 19, saying, we also, in 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He's saying we got the message. God showed it to us. He said, look to my Son. Don't be looking to anything else but to my Son, Jesus Christ. Whereunto, Peter writes, ye do well that you take heed. We got the message. You get the message. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's Christ. Christ must arise in our hearts. So we stay upon him, look to him, hear his words until the Lord is pleased to cause him to rise in your hearts and you see him and know him and rejoice in him. So speaking of the word of God, which was made flesh and dwelt among us, John said in 1:4-5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That is, the darkness, which we are by nature, doesn't comprehend these things until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Then you see the light of God. Then you see the light that he's provided in his Son, Jesus Christ. Before all that, the scriptures teach we're in darkness and we don't know Christ. We don't even desire to know him or to seek him. As it says in John 3:19-20, that this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Because once it's out there in the open, everybody sees the sin, including you. You see the sin, and we're ashamed for what we do in secret and those things that we hide and don't want anybody else to see. We're ashamed of those things, so we don't want to come before God. We want to go on believing that our religious, you know, shenanigans and our religious charade is good, because we're not uncomfortable then. We like being in that darkness. But once it's exposed, it's uncomfortable. And there's nothing we can do except God have mercy on us. And man never thinks to turn to God and beg him for mercy. and forgiveness, he always thinks, well, what now do I have to do to be saved? What do I got to do now to correct this and make it right? And that's not nothing. There's nothing you can do. We look to Christ. It's Him. It's His mercy and His grace. But after Christ is risen in the heart, once His divine power has come upon us and given us life, it says in John 3:21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. And we come to the light that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Not wrought in the flesh, not that he turned things around and did a 180 and now he's got his life together. No, it's all been worked and wrought in Christ so that we rejoice and give him all the praise and glory. So Peter says, remember this. After I am passed away, I want you guys to remember these things, that it's all about Christ. We must know him as our personal Lord and Savior. It's not enough to know that there is a God, that Jesus is the Savior of men. Is he my Savior? Is he your Savior? Do you know him? Do you love him? Has he shown you your need of him? And do you see that he alone is the fit Savior, that you must have him? If there's no love, beg him to give you love, to shine his love in your hearts and make you to see him and rejoice in him. And Paul wrote, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's why we're preaching Christ. That's why we continue in him. It's not just to be religious. It's we have the word of reconciliation given to us through Christ. And so we declare him. That's our ministry. That's our focus, is to preach Christ so that other sinners know and hear that this is the way of salvation through the Son, Jesus Christ. All right. I just want to touch on these last two verses in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Verse 20 says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No scriptures of any private interpretation. And so what he's affirming here for us is that it's not just about religion. The Bible isn't given for us to, you know, for clever men and women to come to the scriptures and see what they want to see and have validated what they've already come to with their preconceived notions. People take the word of God and then they work out, they trace out their own way, their own form of goodness and their own religion and how they say we're to come to God, and they make up all kinds of religious ceremony and various things that a man or woman has to do to get right with God, to get themselves saved or to be right. But that's a private interpretation. That's saying, oh, this is just a religious book to teach me how to be religious. No, it's not. It's about Christ. It's showing us the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's not a private interpretation. How do I know? How do I know that that's not my own private interpretation? Because you look at Christ and you hear what he himself said concerning the scriptures. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what he's shown us. It's not about religion. And there's so much religion in the world, and we have it to overflowing, you know, coming out of our ears and in every orifice. So it's just everywhere, and it doesn't profit us at all. Christ alone profits the child of God. And Christ himself confirmed this, saying, and if you turn over to Luke 24, verse 25, it says, then Christ said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24:26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that we see through this that Christ is the one who's been provided for our salvation. It's not just about being religious. It's not about having this human form of faith and just believing and having hope, you know, and that God is somehow pleased with us just trying to work up some sort of a faith in ourselves and hope in ourselves. We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, because religion's not going to save us. The law is not going to save us. Christ alone is the one who saves his people. So it's what the apostles saw there on the mount, that when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. They saw nothing else save Jesus only. And that's exactly what we're meant to see, that they saw Jesus only. That's what we're to see, Jesus only. You do well, Peter said, to take heed to this thing. And he was talking about what was revealed to them on the mount. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then turn over to Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44, and he's talking to the other apostles now. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." It's all about Christ. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." That is, that we might understand what the apostles understand, to see the things concerning Christ, to look unto him. And he said unto them, verse 46, "Thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." So has Christ opened your understanding? Do you see that you're a sinner, that you can't please God? No matter what you do, you can't work a righteousness for yourself. And as you open your understanding to see that he's the one that God has provided to make reconciliation, to make atonement for your sins, do you see how the necessity of him and how precious he is? Do you hope in him and believe in him and desire him to take away your sins and to make you righteous, to stand before God? Has you put that in your heart? Well, back in 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So the way that we're moved to Christ, the way that we see Christ and declare him and speak of him, is by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one who comes upon us and gives us life, that we may see the kingdom of God, to see that it's all about Christ, and that he has made satisfaction. He has put away our sin. And you'll know it when all you can do is think, "Lord, have mercy on me. I need the salvation that you've provided in your Son. Have mercy upon me." It's not about walking an aisle. It's not about saying a special prayer. He'll bring that out. He'll cause you to cry out to him. It's looking to Christ, and he gives that to his people, to look to him, to see him and trust him and rest there in him, so that once we're set free, that's all. We'll rejoice in him and we'll give him all the thanks and the praise, because the day star will have risen in our hearts, all by his power and grace. I pray the Lord will bless that to your hearts and help us to look to Christ and rest in him. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your mercy in gathering this people here to hear your word. Lord, let us not take it for granted, but Lord, help us to hear what burdened Peter so much in his heart, that after he died, that we would be put in remembrance of Christ our Savior, that we would hear him and look to him. Lord, we pray that you would cause the day to dawn upon us, and that the day star, your Son Jesus Christ, would rise in our hearts, and that we would see Jesus only and be covered in his blood and receive that forgiveness which you've provided for your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.